Feeling groovy.
I'm cold now. I was sweaty and hot, and now I'm cold.
Sounds like a song. I was sweaty and hot, but now I'm cold. I was young and vivacious, but now I'm old. I was italic and smooth, but now I'm bold. I was never up for sale, but now I'm sold.
Yeah, I get really hot on the school run, I think because I walk at 1,000 miles an hour. I don't know why.
Because you're late, because you're late, because
yeah,
you're late.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you'll find that's why.
Hello, you're listening to the Doing It For The Kids podcast, where we swear a bit too much and talk a bit too fast about freelance life with kids in the mix. I'm Frankie, and this is Steve.
Hello! Yes, each week we take a different question from a member of Doing It For The Kids community, do our best to answer it, you know, be it about business or work or juggling the two, and then we ask for your comments to read out, because they tend to be more sensical than what we've come up with, which means we have to go back to last week's questions. Last week's question was...
how to keep your social media updated when it's like the bane of your life.
Barry Steele!
Barry
Good
Steele.
Old Bazza! Wonder how his week was.
Barry!
Katie McKay got in touch. Katie says, automate, and then automate some more. Boringly, try and put together a rough plan of what you want to say and on which platform mapped out for the next 12 weeks. And I used to work in theatre, so I know the pain.
Lauren Tomes says, agree with what you said about not following negative people or even celebrities or political figures. That's all toxic stuff that you want to stay away from. But honestly, sometimes I also unfollow the people who seem to always have it together. It just makes me feel worse about how much of a mess my life feels. Just be careful what you're consuming and how it affects you.
And Juliette Raymond says, I hope I said your surname, by the way. It sounded nice, however I said it, right? Juliette says, oh my goodness, this is me. I really think I need to get off social media for my own sanity and productivity. But I know I need to engage to some extent. And I just stupidly started a Facebook group, which I was sure would be amazing, but I'm regretting it already.
That comment made me laugh so hard. We've already exchanged like... understanding gifts on the thread in the Facebook group, because like, yeah, obviously I run a Facebook group, she's just started one. You run one, Steve. Like, they are,
yeah,
fucking,
oh, they are,
hard,
they're,
work,
they're big.
They're amazing, yeah. But they are all consuming.
One thing I realized we didn't recommend to Bazza from last week, because right Barry was saying how he couldn't afford to outsource, that mm-hmm. wasn't an option, right? Mm-hmm. But it did occur to me that maybe one thing that Barry could do is at least have one session with some sort of social media expert, you mm-hmm. know, like a, be it a power hour type thing mm. or a half a day, like just chatting through what it is. I'm sure they'll have lots of good ideas.
Yeah, get some help with like the strategy, the bigger picture stuff, and then deliver yeah. it yourself. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Anyway, how are you?
How am I? Yeah, I'm all right. I feel like January's kicking in now. I remember saying to you, I don't know if it's on the podcast or not, but like, I was worried that January was going to be dead. So December was mad. Then I had nothing lined up for January. And then February, it started to go again. And I was all like, January's always really long. And you've got your tax bill, blah, blah, blah. So I was freaking out. And then classic me. We're now on what, like day... this is my fourth working day since my kid went back to school. And I'm already like, oh, shit. So much to do. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I should update on the crazy cat from last week. Mm. After a few days, not immediately, he eventually calmed down and is now just like an ordinary cat. The two of them just seem so happy to be here, and I can't tell you how nice it is to have a bit of furry company back in the house. It is lovely.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah, I've been enjoying The Masked Singer on ITV.
Yes, me too.
My guilty little secret. When I saw that was going to be a show, I thought, what the hell? Come on. But actually, it's so good. It's a bit like Through the Keyhole, you know, like where you're trying to guess yeah. a celebrity, like who lives in a house
yeah,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a bit like that. So they, if you've not seen it, they give you clues for you to try and figure out who it is, but also you're listening to their voice as they sing, and so you're trying to hear and in your head you're going, oh, I know this one, it's definitely Gladys Knight, and then they take off the head and it's Patsy Palmer from EastEnders. Anyway, This week's question comes from Hannah Bullivant. Forgive me, Hannah. But it comes from Hannah, and she is a stylist, writer, and blogger. She has a successful blog called Seeds and Stitches. She does styling for interiors and events. She's got a big following on Instagram, so she does influencer-type work. She runs workshops, retreats, sells ebooks, online courses. You get the idea. Anyway, hannahbullivant.com, B-U-L-L-I-V-A-N-T.com. Hannah says, I would love your thoughts on the perils/advantages of being a multi-hyphen freelancer. Sometimes I think it's really clever, have different income streams, keeps me interested and engaged. And sometimes I really regret it. I have such little time and I feel stretched thin, especially as I only have 2 days of childcare. What are your thoughts, Hannah? Okay, so this one isn't really a question. What are our thoughts? Oh my God, unleash your thoughts. Basically, the pros and cons of a multi-hyphenate career.
When you have very little time.
Yeah.
Doing like about 6 jobs in, what did she say? 2 days childcare?
Yeah, I think she's got like a 7 and a 2-year-old or something like that. Yeah, I mean, there are so many pros. The big one is flexibility. But as she said, income streams is a good one. Mm-hmm. That can really protect you in a big way. Like, don't underestimate how important that one is. The fact that it keeps you interested and engaged is also great. I think also when you work on lots of different things, it's a real chance to learn mm-hmm. and keep developing and evolving and experiment. So like, as the world changes and as your world changes, as your kids get older and so on and so forth, like, it becomes easier to sort of like transform what the work is that you're doing.
Yeah.
As you become interested in things, as technology changes.
It allows you to be more of a chameleon.
Yeah, I really do think that being multi-hyphen can make you more resilient to change. Mm-hmm. And part of that is your skills and the people you meet, because you tend to meet a lot more people as well. And yeah, all of that helps. But it also helps protect your income because you have multiple revenues. So if one of them gets switched off, then you can rely on the other ones. Or if you notice that one thing is doing particularly well, you can sort of start to focus on that if you're enjoying it.
I think that's a really good point, because if she's only got 2 days a week, her life is like an exercise in how to prioritize, isn't it? When you've got all those things going on. I imagine, like, she talks a lot about seasons, literal seasons in her work. And I wonder if she has seasons during her working year where, because I know she does events and stuff, does she concentrate on 3-4 events for certain parts of the year? Does she concentrate on, I know she does a big New Year thing, which is a big ebook about planning out your year and stuff. I imagine the end of the year she's building up to that quite a lot. Mm. I guess it's just trying, she must do this, but trying not to do all of those things all of the time, but concentrating on which parts of the year, which projects are more successful and produce more money for you, and concentrating on those at those times. I guess the fear is of overcommitting, isn't it? Particularly with, like, she does some influencer work on, like, sponsored posts and stuff on Instagram. That must be so easy to just say yes to everything, and then suddenly, like, you've got all this other stuff going on and you're overwhelmed and you can't keep up. And the fear is like that horrible feeling of doing all the things but not feeling like you're doing any of them particularly well, particularly when they're client-based projects and work.
Yeah.
Because if it's just your own thing and it doesn't sell that well, obviously that's disappointing. But you don't have that same niggly, like, I didn't do a good job for my client feeling, which is so horrible.
Yep, you just said about the saying yes to lots of things, and maybe that's key to this, is the fact that if you are going to have a multi-hyphen career, then you need to really get used to that saying no thing, which really is an exercise in figuring out which opportunities are actually worth you taking,
yeah,
or learning how to schedule them if you're going to push them further down the line. So look at each opportunity with different questions in your head, like, how will it affect your income? How will it affect your energy? How will it use up your precious time since you don't have much of it? Will it get you more of the things that you want to do?
Mm.
Yeah, it can definitely be very tempting to say yes to all the things because you never know when the next thing is going to come along.
Like Dave Smythe was saying the other week, feed the hungry freelance gremlin.
I think there's a danger sometimes, though, of, you know, the whole grass is greener on the other side. So it sounds, Hannah, like you're sitting there and actually you do have a successful multi-hyphen career. Yeah. I don't think the on the other side of the fence, like the thought of just niching and picking one thing to work on would actually be better. It might make you more anxious because you don't know when the income might dry up, or that you might become reliant on one client who then disappears and stuff like that. So I think really the answer is how best to pick the right opportunities and how best to manage your time. And actually working on your own things like your courses and stuff like that is actually a really smart thing to do, because it gives you, I know, it makes you the client, right? It makes you in control. You're not waiting on somebody else to come your way.
Yeah. And also it's great to have so many things. So she's already said having so many things is great because you have multiple income streams. If one doesn't work out or is disappointing a particular month, you've got other stuff to keep you afloat. But the other great thing about that is because she's got such different, really different things like face-to-face workshops and retreats, she styles other people's events and does like magazine shoots and stuff, and then she does her own thing. Like, all those things are really different, but all of them are, yes, showing different skills that she has, but are ultimately promoting herself to different people. It's like cross-platform marketing within your own business.
Yeah.
Rather than like, I sell a product, I need to get PR in magazines to sell that product. It's like she is selling herself by doing work in for a magazine. It's like all part of the same ecosystem or whatever, which is actually really clever. I also suspect that, well, we all have this, is like, everybody has that necessary evil in their work that they need to do to pay the bills. There's always one like type of job, client, project that you do that you really don't want to, but you do it anyway because it makes life easier and less stressful for you. I'm sure she has a coach or whatever, but is she talking about like letting go of some things, those necessary evils, the stuff that doesn't like light her up? Is she at a point in her career where she can do that? And do, yes, still have multi-hyphen, like lots of things that she's doing, but maybe pare that down slightly and feel less stressed, overwhelmed, use that time she has in a more efficient way.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just last week, I was recording an episode of Being Freelance with this person who, you know, has client work, but then has built her own audience and is like an educator and, you know, does courses and so on and so forth. And she said to me, she put it in these words, which I've not heard before, the fact that when she works on a client project, it can leave her drained of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she enjoys it, but it drains her. Whereas actually, when she works on projects with her own community and teaching them and masterminds and all of that, yes, it's still hard work, but
it lights her up.
Yeah, exactly. It gives her energy. Mm. It's so true. Some things drain us and some things give us energy. So I think it's worth the whole way through what you're doing, Hannah. You need to be able to self-reflect from reading some of your blog posts. It sounds like you're very good at self-reflecting. Anyway.
Definitely, yeah.
But you do need to analyze everything all the time. Like, what is working? What isn't? What is bringing you money, which is essential, but also what is bringing you energy, and then reevaluate what to do and what not to do. I don't know whether Hannah outsources anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who start to build, you know, courses and communities and things like that, get to a point where they kind of need to bring on some other help.
Quite a few people I know now have hired a VA. They talk about it like, I should have done it ages ago. Now I've done it, I feel great. And like, it's actually changed how I run my business and ultimately how I feel about my business and my life. And I should have done it a long time ago. I don't know if Hannah has an assistant or not. Something to think about. And again, it's like one of those things you don't want to pay for, but everybody I've spoken to has not regretted that decision. Quite the opposite. Also worth saying, I feel like we say this every episode, but she is currently in a very specific period of her life. And if, I don't know when her kid's birthday is, but they're soon going to be 3 and she's going to get 33 hours. And yes, she doesn't have to use those, but like, feeling that squeezed is not a permanent way to be. Yeah, and I imagine in like a year's time, Hannah's going to be like, boom, I can do all these things. It's amazing. I suddenly don't have this like financial drain. I mean, childcare is just it's just so much money.
Yeah.
So like feeling like she needs to do all of those amazing things in 2 days is not a permanent thing. She knows this. She's going to be like, yes, Frankie, I know.
Sometimes it's good to have that reminder.
Right.
And with that comes the importance, realising, yes, you might have lots of plans, both client-wise and also with your own audience-wise, but some of that can just wait.
You've got to draw the line somewhere. But on the other end of that, I know, so I've got a four-year-old who's at, 4.5-year-old who's at school, and then I've got a 18-month-old-ish, 16, whatever. And I know that, like, when people have said that to me, as in, like, it's just a phase, enjoy being with your children while they're small, in 3 years' time, your business will be thriving. I understand all of that. I've literally just said it to Hannah. But, oh my God, part of me is just like, fuck off! Like, I want to do the things. They light me up. They make me happy. I've talked about this before, I'm sure, on the podcast. I talk about it in the group all the time. But, like, since having children, I'm 1,000 times more ambitious than I was before I had kids, despite having about a third of the time available to me to do my job. And it's such a frustrating situation to be in. But I do think over the last 5 years since my son was born, I have learned to come to terms with the fact that, yeah, I can't. I've burnt out enough, Steve, to know that I cannot do all the things all the time. And yeah, in Hannah's case, she has the luxury of doing some really amazing things. And maybe she needs to just cherry pick which things she concentrates on, either generally or for certain points in the year. And yeah, only for this period until either her kid has more nursery hours or inevitably goes to school. Or are there other forms of childcare she can get in the meantime? Maybe she doesn't want to have more childcare. Maybe she's happy with 2 days a week. I don't know. This is the issue with the podcast. You can't ask Hannah all the questions.
Being multi-hyphen, in quotation marks, like, can feel really flexible. But actually, if you take a lot on, your time and mind ends up being pulled in different directions.
Mm.
And then that can become overwhelming. So I think in the main, I would fully advocate the whole idea of being multi-hyphen. Most of us don't even choose it. It just happens.
Mm.
We end up, you know, picking bits and pieces of work, and then suddenly we find ourselves doing lots of different things since we've had kids and we've decided to become freelance, if, you know, that is the case for a lot of people. But you can be multi-hyphen but still streamline. You can narrow down different things. You can strip away different things. You can figure out your processes. You know, boring as they are, they can really help you make the most of that time. Planning as well.
Yeah, it almost feels like Hannah needs to plan her year, really, at the start of... I'm not that person, and I don't think I need to do that necessarily, but given what she does...
Yeah, I say... stick with it, and that it's great, but if it's just constantly self-reflect and plan and bring on help if you need to.
And don't be afraid to, as you say, pause some elements, if only for this period in your life. But like I say, if somebody said that to me, I'd be livid, so.
Okay,
but it's true.
If you've got a comment on this week's question, then get in touch, be it on Twitter or Instagram. Let Frankie know your thoughts. But of course, mainly in the Facebook group, Doing It for the Kids community. If you're listening to this but you're not in it, come join us. Also, we need your questions. If you've got a question, you can submit that via doingitforthekids.net, or just drop Frankie a DM. And you can also support what Frankie is doing with Doing It for the Kids. Go to doingitforthekids.com/coffee.
And you all need to go and listen to the new season of Being Freelance.
It is back, and it started with Anne Tomlin, who is an email developer who became freelance because her cat got cancer and she wanted to be at home to spend more time with it.
That's so nice.
First person to have on who, you know, lots of people become freelance because of kids. Here's somebody who wanted to spend time with their cat.
I actually love that. That's really cute.
Yeah. By the way, the cat has been doing... I don't want to feel this on a downer. The cat has been being treated well and is still alive and still going.
That's not a downer. That's great later. News.
Exactly. But if I'd have just left it at...
Oh, I see. Open-ended.
The cat got cancer. Mm. I want to let you know that it's kind of... There's a happy... There's a happier side to that story.
Are we done?
Yeah, we are, because you've got to go and get your hair done.
I do.
I mean, personally... I think it looks wicked as it is. What are you going to have done? They're just going to brush it.
Basically, all that I ever want anyone to do with a hairdresser, basically like remove half of it but keep the length. They like thin it out.
Oh, have you got luscious thick hair?
I've got so much fucking hair, it's unbelievable.
Oh, can I have some? I've got such thin shitty hair.